art of communication is how do you communicate what you want while making the other person feel seen and heard? And I would never feel seen and heard if I make fun of. Immediately, I'm in fight or flight. Immediately, I'm in defensive mode.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater, and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe!
Hey friend, can I share something with you today? I just need to get this off my chest. Like, I want to share a pet peeve of mine with you.
Okay. I'm always nervous. I don't know where you're going to go with this, but yes, do share.
Okay. It's going to be a little bit controversial for our listeners, so just hang in there with me. But this has been something that's been bothering me for a really long time, specifically in our industry. And that is like the negative tone content that I see in our industry. It's the type of content that really gets under my skin, and I'm not a fan of it. You know, that's what I wanted to talk to you about today.
Oh, I completely, completely agree. And why is this such a controversial topic to bring up? I don't know, but it really is. The industry talks about the type of content to post, where to post, how to get engagement, but no one really talks about the tone of the content and looking at it from another perspective outside of your own.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes has always been, people won't remember what you said, but they will remember how you make them feel. My fiance, Phil, would know that I use this quote all the time because when we argue, I never can tell him like the exact verbiage of what he said. So I'm always like, I don't remember what you said, but I remember how you made me feel. Oh. It's the tone.
It's true though.
So just for our listener to have a better understanding of what we're talking about, can you explain what is the tone of a content?
Sure. So the tone is really the energy it gives off, the vibration of it. Tone could be sounding excited, sounding angry, sounding annoyed, and also not just like if you're talking, but let's say you're typing. What is the tone of your text? Is it coming across really passive aggressive or sarcastic? Is it coming off, again, annoyed? Or is it coming out of a place of like education, kindness, compassion, love? It's just looking at that picture, looking at the reel, the text, and just seeing how it comes across is like the easiest way I can think to explain tone.
Yeah, honestly, I think also it's just like, what is the mood that you were in when you created that content? And how does that convey to your audience, right? And I think a huge category of tone is it negative or is it positive, right? Does it bring people joy and make them feel good, like your audience specifically? Or does it make them feel bad? And that's what we're really here to talk about today. And it really matters, the tone of your content, especially when you're trying to deliver to a specific type of audience. We talk a lot about how understanding your audience and knowing who you talk to. And most of us are lash artists who are listening to this, and our main audience are clients. And so we really need to be able to put ourselves in our clients' shoes and think about when they're looking at this piece of content, how does it make them feel? Because no one's going to want to come and do service with you and engage with you if they don't feel good about it, right? So that's why it matters a lot. The tone of your content really helps set your brand apart and also helps people gain safety. You know, like we only want to do business with people who makes us feel safe. And the tone of your content matters because it conveys safety. Or what's the opposite of safety? Non-safety?
Yeah, what is it? Like fear?
Yeah, exactly. Fear. Actually, that's a really great fear because a lot of the content, also the tone of our content in our industry, sometimes are such fear-based content, you know? So yes, I think, you know, it's like it matters because it either convey fear or safety. And we always want to convey safety. especially as a service provider. So what would you say some of the do's and don'ts when it comes to the tone of your content?
Do you have fun creating your content? Sometimes it's fun to have like a little type of a teasing post. I get it, but really consider how it's coming across. I would really encourage people on the don't side, don't bash clients, don't bash personal situations. You know, those types of content can do really well because a lot of people like a good gossip and it's sometimes a mean girl mentality. I had someone who responded to me recently and they said, my client actually loves and thinks this content is funny. And I'm like, that's because they might not be the client who does this, or they're laughing with you, but it is actually hurting their feelings. So kind of consider that. Are you coming off as like a cliquish salon that makes fun of clients who aren't a certain way? Or are you coming off as a salon who's like loving and accepting of everyone? Even if you do cultivate a very specific type of clientele, you still want them to feel comfortable telling you like, hey, I don't know how to clean my lashes, or this happened to me, and they start sharing a really embarrassing situation. It's nice if they're able to keep that in a safe spot with you versus them being fearful of telling you because they think you're going to go make a reel and post about it all over the internet.
Of course. I think that makes so much sense. Maybe it's because it's rooted in the UA's value to be inclusive, or maybe just like my personal value to really want to advocate for kindness. To me, I always lead with kindness. And when it comes to content that are rooted in the nature of making fun of somebody or, you know, picking someone's bad habit and then broadcasting it, I don't feel like that's ever rooted in kindness. And that's what kind of why I wanted to do this episode today. I really want to elaborate and dive a little bit more into the don'ts that you just mentioned. There are a lot of content creators, and even on our social medias or blogs, we always talk about the do's, right? But let's talk about some of the don'ts today. First, I want to kind of give you guys my personal reason why I believe that these type of don't contents are bad for your business. The don't content, as Anne-Marie mentioned, you know, the making fun of clients, the passive aggressive ones, the ones that just make someone feel bad. Doesn't matter if they're your immediate audience, but if it makes someone feel bad in a way that's like, you know, ill-meaning, it's considered bad content. And I think it's bad for your business because I think what you say about others say so much about who you are, right?
Definitely.
It reflects on you and your business. And if I'm a prospect that is looking to get service done and I'm looking through the social media and I come across people who are always bad-mouthing their clients or creating content that are making fun of their clients, I would feel A, either nervous that that is going to be my experience, so I would do everything in my ability to avoid it, or B, if I am your client, I might feel like, is she talking about me? And even if you're not talking about me, I would think that now I can't be vulnerable with you. I can't be honest with you. I have to show up perfect. I have to show up perfectly cleansed lashes. I have to show up perfectly on time, because if I don't, I will be made fun of. And that's my artist out there. It's going to make me feel bad. And on a bigger scale, why this matters and why this is bad content, not just for you individually, but it's also bad for our industry as a whole, because I think all of us are working like very hard as brand owners, salon owners, and solo artists to make lash extension as ubiquitous as possible. We want every single woman on the street, if they wanted lash extensions, to get lash extensions, right?
Right.
But if we create fear-based content, especially those ones about like lash mites, which for those of you who don't know, we all have it. Like even you cleanse your lashes, there's still lash mites. They're just not visible, right? But with the lack of context and the lack of knowledge, as a client, I look at it, I'll be like, ooh, that's what extension's going to do. I don't really need it because it's not worth risking for it. And an example I always like to do is like in the fitness industry. Imagine I'm a trainer and all I post about is content about how, you know, my client broke his arm because he went to work out with other trainer and not me or something like that, right? To me, I'll be like, I wouldn't think, oh, then I must come and train with you. Like, I shouldn't go and train with other people. Instead, what I think is, what? Training can break your arms? No, thanks. I'm just not going to train. It's not worth it.
That's a really good example, Cheryl. I could think of a lot of examples of things that would be inappropriate for a doctor to post or a personal trainer or a chef or anything like that. Like, imagine a personal trainer who's making reels, making fun of those who come in who can't do a single push-up. Like, that is extremely off-putting. And although it's funny maybe to some of the people that they have as current customers, like, is it truly funny for them, or is it just like a mean cliquish type vibe? I have another example that is a little wild, but I saw this and it just like crushed me to see. It was a girl going in to do a Brazilian wax, and it had some text that said something like, when you start a Brazilian wax and the stink is real. And then she made a really bad like barfy face. It kind of fell over. And I thought, you know, no matter how good your hygiene is, no matter how many doctors tell you that like everything's normal, you're fine, it's still something that most women can be self-conscious about at some time or another. And for a waxer to just put this out there versus maybe making a content that says odor is normal, here's some tips for preparing for your appointment.
Yes.
Or just handling it and saying, hey, you know, I just wanted to let you know that you may want to go have this checked out. And like having that conversation as like kindly and with as much compassion as you can, because it is kind of our job, if we see something, to let the client know. Massage therapists, they often find lumps when they're massaging people, and then they send them to the doctor and it might be a cancerous lump, right? So we can still approach these situations with kindness. And did she have millions of likes? Yes, but it's super, super insensitive. And I just wonder, is that how you really want to portray your business?
Yeah, I think this goes into maybe, you know, a little bit of the reason why we, like the industry, sometimes create these type of content. And I just want to clarify here too, that UA is rooted in empathy and inclusivity. And the intention for us to make this podcast, it isn't really to shame or single any artist out to say that that's your fault that you're making this content. If anything, I empathize. I totally get why someone would make those type of content.
Same.
It's really because the lack of boundaries that we didn't, like the, I guess the lack of boundary that we set, is it didn't set? But essentially all ties back to the lack of boundary, right? When we make these type of content, it's because we're projecting or we want to share our frustration of clients not respecting our time, our frustration of clients, you know, not cleaning their lashes, or our frustration of maybe perhaps other lash artists creating works that tarnish our industry. And these are all rooted in the emotion of frustration or anger or just resentment, right? But where does that come from? It came from us not setting boundaries, right? It came from us letting that slide way too many times because we are too nervous to say it to our clients. So instead, we think that, well, we need to be heard because it's very human to want to be heard. And especially if we're having something that like frustrates us and it's like venting, right? But instead, we create passive aggressive content, A, to get the approval and validation from our peer who are in the same industry as us. When other people like it, we know that we're not alone. When other people comment on it, we know that other people experience the same. We're not crazy. Like, we're not insensitive or picky. But also we do this because we think that maybe Susie would see this and Susie would start showing up on time. Or like Nancy sees this and maybe she'll finally wash her lashes. Like, there is reason, and I understand the reason behind creating these content. And I guess what I want to do is really asking our listener here to take a moment and reflect. Reflect on these reasons. They're not necessarily bad reasons because our feelings are valid. But I want us to reflect on, is this the best way to communicate our feelings? And how do you think we should be communicating? Because these negative feelings exist. We always have that client who doesn't respect our time and never book ahead or never wash their lashes, come in with a lot of coffee, even though we said don't drink coffee. So how do you think it's a more appropriate way for us to communicate these boundaries or negative feelings that we have?
I definitely think it's something that you should talk to the client individually about, you know, like let them know, hey, I need you to be on time. Or if you know they're consistently 10 minutes late, like I've accommodated my schedule for those clients because guess what? They're actually really good clients. They're just always late.
Yeah.
And I think you were telling me one time something that Tiana said that was similar. What was it?
Yeah. So Tiana, an Instagram live like a little while ago, and that was really eye-opening for me, right? She said that she had a client who is always late, like sometimes even 50, 60 minutes late in her 90 minutes appointment. And she said that, but this client, whether she shows up or not, I'm going to charge her 100%. So out of the respect of that service, I'm leaving that block of time open to serve her. So if she comes 50, 60 minutes late, I'll just serve her for the last 30 minutes. I am going to charge her regardless. So it's not like I'm going to take her money, charge her, and then take that hour to plan my content. It's like getting paid to plan your content or something. But instead, she really respects that client and she knows that it's not personal. She serve her however long she comes, even if it's going to be like 15, 20 minutes. Instead, she just consistently communicate with her and being clear on why she wasn't able to do what the client wanted to do and the time. And the rest is up to the client, right? And I think one of a really good saying is clear is kind. By being clear on the expectation of your clients, you're actually being kind to them. Setting boundary is an act of kindness. It's an act of a self-love, and it's an act of kindness towards others. So I think that that was like really eye-opening for me because I'm like, you're right, because I'm going to charge you no matter what. It's actually you disrespecting your own time, not really my time necessarily, which is why like if you set up your business in a way that has these policies in place, that is going to make it so much easier. Back to saying like, you know, I think the psyche behind why we create these content, it's sometimes I think all comes down to our personal narrative. It's very easy when others betray us, let's say, not respecting what we say, not showing up on time. It's so easy for us to perpetuate that narrative that they're doing it to us. But sometimes we just have to remove ourselves and our ego and put ourselves in our client's shoes. Maybe some people, like if you struggle with ADHD, being on time is like climbing the Mount Everest. It's really freaking hard, you know? And maybe there's emergency. Maybe somebody is just such a busy mom that being on time, it's also near impossible for them. But it's extending that empathy while setting boundaries for your own business. You can both empathize for your clients of their tardiness and their lack of ability to cleanse their lashes and set boundary that I'm going to charge you full price, even if it's a no-show. I'm going to charge you 50% or whatever your policy is, even as last minute cancel. I think all of this comes back to staying in our own lane and making sure that we do our part in setting our boundaries. And then the rest would just unfold in the way that makes most sense for your business. Because if you set these boundaries and your clients don't really think that they can adhere to it and they don't want to waste the money, guess what? They're just going to go and see someone else. Or maybe they don't get lashes anymore. But it's not up to us to change people, especially changing them by shaming them.
Right, exactly. So when it comes to addressing it, you talk to the client about it. You determine if you want to be like Tiana and I and still take that customer and work with it. Or do you let them know that, hey, this isn't working out. You're going to need to find a different stylist. Like you can draw that line instead of making it to a point where this is something that frustrates you so much that now you're posting online about it. And when I see it, I think, how many of your clients do you have that issue with? Because I don't have issues with many clients being late. I don't have issues with many clients not cleaning their lashes. You know, like I don't have issues with all these different crazy things that I'm seeing. And now I still want to encourage people, like, have fun. I love a good sassy meme. And it's, I love the ones where it's like the different types of clients who show up and you have like the work at home mom, you have the busy like working lady, you have like the Gen Z, you have like the client who always brings Starbucks, the gossip. Like I love those. Those are really fun. And then just like joking about things that like lash artists have that we kind of have like quirks about within our application or like when your client is having such a good appointment, they fall asleep and jerk and it messes up a beautiful fan. Like, that's still lighthearted enough that for most people, they're not going to be feeling bad about that. And it's just like, aw. And I saw a meme. I'm not a meme. I'm sorry. A reel that was so stinking cute. And it was the client who was going on vacation. And the little lash fan was talking to the stylist and said, I'm going to go to Mexico and you have to stay here. And so that was like sassy and fun too. But if you are getting to the point where you want to make a reel that is annoyed about a big situation that keeps happening, you might want to stop, pause. Is this worth posting? And then assess internally what you could change within your system at your studio to minimize that issue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that, you know, just like what you said, I think when you find your a big percentage of your client in your clientele that has the same behavior, like showing up late or not cleansing their lashes, I know you guys won't like to hear this, but I think this is also a reflection on you.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, guys.
We attract what we put out. And I'm not saying that, you know, obviously you're somebody who made your client ask, told your client not to clean lashes or anything like that. But it could be because of that lack of boundary. It's like your clients are always going to be doing what makes most sense to them. Human are naturally self-centered, and that's not a flaw. But instead, I think it's really important for us to extend understanding and extend empathy. Even if we make a small little tease video or something like that about the clients, like let's say the one that you were saying earlier about different type of clients, right? The caption can still convey a different tone saying, but I love you all equally or something like that. Because it's like putting your client's shoes and then ask yourself, how would this make them feel? And this is also like a huge ego check for us. It's so tempting to make content that get us so much exposures and so much engagement. Like we all do a little happy dance if our reel hits a certain number and amount. But at the end of the day, if you're using your social media to conduct business, you really want to think about what are the vanity metrics and what the metrics that actually reflect your business. And personally, I think that if you're getting all these views and likes and engagement from other lash artists, it doesn't mean that you did a good job in creating content, because that now your algorithm is going to think that your content is most relevant to other lash artists across the world rather than woman in your near proximity that wants to get eyelash extensions. So it's really counterproductive in these type of contents that we're creating. Maybe the sappy romantic part of me thinks that like kindness does trump everything. If we lead with kindness, it does ultimately help us make the best decision for our business. And that means that if your content is rooted in kindness, doesn't matter what you do, it's going to have a positive effect on your business. But if you're constantly creating negative tone content, it's going to have a negative impact on your business. Even if it doesn't, it still doesn't reflect. It still reflects poorly as a whole, you know?
Absolutely. Now, one thing you said that was actually like, I don't want to gloss over it. Let's just start with that. Is that you said that if you're posting content that's maybe a little bit like sassy, a little mean, and it gets a lot of interest from lash stylists, the algorithm is now going to be promoting you to like lash stylists versus like your target client. Can you expand on that a little bit more? Because I think that that is a thing that we really need to think about, is who we're trying to gain to see our content. And when you're trying to gain clients in your local area, does it help if stylists across the world think you're funny?
Okay, I love to elaborate on this. So let me first give you guys an example that I think everyone can relate to. So those of you who uses your lash account to look at other lash accounts, learn and educate yourself on your lash account, I want you to go on your explore page right now on your Instagram and look at what type of content is currently on your explore page. And if I have to take a wild guess and put some money on it, I would say that majority of your content on your explore page is going to be lash related. It's going to be beauty service related. It's because that's how the algorithm works. The algorithm essentially takes your behavior and see what you like to do, and then give you more of that so you can spend more time on Instagram. So if you're spending most of your time engaging with other lash artists and creating content to please your peer in the lash industry, you will find that you are getting harder and harder to find other clients, potential clients and prospects in your area. But let's say on the opposite hand of the scenario, you decide to use your Instagram, your lash page specifically, to engage with local influencer, local bloggers, and as well as, like, you know, if you're finding yourself constantly engaging with bloggers on your business page, you will notice on your explore page, there are going to be other women who are like the people that you're engaging with, whether it's your clients or your aspiring clients. The Instagram algorithm is going to be like, oh, you like those people? You want to see more of those people? Here are more of those people. But if you spend all day scrolling nail art and like funny lash memes and stuff like that, you're going to see lash artists, other lash memes, and nail on your explore page. It's simple as that. It's your behavior will affect how the algorithm sees you. They don't know if you're a business. They don't tailor your explore page to you specifically because they sat down with you, took a survey on your business. They just look at your behavior. So if your behavior is to please lash artists, you shouldn't be surprised, I guess, that most of your engagements are with other lash artists. And this is the downside of creating these type of content, because these type of contents are only relevant and funny to other lash artists.
That's so true. You know, I didn't even think about so much like how you're interacting on your page, because for me, I always had my pages separate, my AnneMarie.pro and then my Lash Studio page. And I made different content depending what I was doing. So I never really processed that my For You page is completely different on both of those accounts. And I mean, it truly is very, very different. I have a lot more local things on my For You page, on my studio page. I see what's happening at like the other salons in my area, like the fitness centers. I even had a restaurant pop up on there when I quickly looked right now. And I thought, wow, you know, this helps me engage with my local community. And that's what's going to keep bringing in new clients and help me be known within my area. And then my AnneMarie page, yeah, it's all lash artists, of course, but that's my target market for that page. So this is a really good thing to consider too, outside of just how the tone is coming across and that mean girl thing is, this could actually affect what like interest you get to your page. That affects our money. I don't like that.
For sure. Like, I'm just doing what you're doing too. I just hopped on quickly on my explore page and all of mine are fashion now. But let me tell you guys, for a period of time, all of mine was like satisfaction video. Like, you know, like these like OCD, like, I don't know, peeling a screen protector off. Like, I was like, what does that say about me? But you can tell a lot about a person based on their Netflix suggestion as well as their Instagram explore page.
So true. So true.
The algorithm don't lie, people. So yeah, I encourage all of you right now to go on your explore page and take a look and see what's on there, what type of content is on there that you may not know how you're spending your time on Instagram and how much time you're spending on each content. But once you look at that, it's clear. Like, you can't argue with that.
So Cheryl, can you give us some examples on what type of content we could start producing to attract our target audience? And this is assuming that I'm a stylist, I'm working in a studio, it's just me, and I'm trying to get more clients.
Yeah, I'd love to give you guys some tips and tricks. When it comes to using your Instagram to attract clients, it's really a two-pronged approach, and they kind of play hand in hand together. So the first side is that you want to create the right content with the right tone to attract the right clients. So let's say you are trying to get clients to come and get services with you. Maybe the type of content you can create is educational content, inspirational, aspirational content. So educational can be something like 7 myths about getting eyelash extensions, because you want to put yourself in your client's shoes and think about all the reason why they're not getting eyelash extensions by you, and then create content to debunk those myths or to overcome those objections. And then you can create content that are aspirational. Like, what does your life look like if you do have extensions versus life without extensions? And in this scenario, I can already think of so many funny, sassy videos already that isn't ill-intended, that doesn't make somebody feel bad. And then another type of content you can create is like contents about who you are and why they should do services with you. This entire process of you creating content on social media are meant to do two things. One, it's meant to help you prospect, to show people who you are and why they should do business with you. And then the second, this is the part that I feel like people often neglect, because we're always thinking about how do I get more clients? How do I get new clients? But Amory, you are somebody who really emphasizes on this, is strengthening your relationship with your current clients. Are you making content that makes your current clients laugh because you know their interests? You know what makes them, what's funny to them. Maybe it's instead of creating a content of saying, oh, clients that don't wash lashes, look at how dirty these are, blah, blah, blah. But you can make a content, let's say you're a dog lover and your clients all know you have two dogs and you could post contents on your page about dogs. You can create a voiceover video of a funny looking face of your dog. And the voiceover can be like, you know, I don't know, Serenity, which is, for those of you who don't know, is Amory's cute, adorable, loving dog. And you can just be like doing the voice of Serenity. And it would be a reel of Serenity here reminding you to clean your lashes or something like that. Or Serenity is excited to see you next appointment on time or something like that, where it's lighthearted and it's easy for someone to take it and see that content and not be offended. I think that's the art of communication. The art of communication is how do you communicate what you want while making the other person feel seen and heard? And I would never feel seen and heard if I make fun of. Immediately, I'm in fight or flight. Immediately, I'm in defensive mode. It's really about disarming the guards of your client or prospect and then giving them that safety to come and ask you questions, to give them a chance to become your long-term customer that you love and hold their hand and teach them how to cultivate those right habits. And in our industry, we often want to have our clients to be the one that solves all the problem. When we have retention, we say it's their aftercare. When our schedule is busy and we don't have, you know, boundaries in our self-care, we say it's because they don't respect our time. But we never look at ourselves and be like, what are my responsibilities?
So true.
I can firsthand say setting boundary, it's difficult, right? It's extremely difficult. But that's the work. It's the work that we have to do as individual, as business owner. That's how you grow, because those are the moment where growth happens. So yeah, I think that that's like the first part of it. It's the type of content you create. But then the second part of it is also who you're engaging with. Who are you spending time with? If you are trying to get more new clients, why are you spending time with other lash artists? I'm not saying don't learn. I'm not saying don't leverage this powerful tool called Instagram that can help you learn so many things, like through our Instagram page, because UA is all about sharing. It's all about, you know, education. Don't neglect spending time engaging with your clients, with your prospects, because these are the people that pay your bill.
It's so true. And if you get to the point where you have so many lash artists following you, then there's probably a reason that you're looking to have artists following you. And I would encourage you to create two separate accounts. So maybe that's you want to create education or you just really want to network with other artists. But if you're finding that, let's say you have 700 followers on your business page and you're looking through it and you're realizing that like over 50% are lash artists, it's time to separate your pages so that your content gets where you want it to go. And you can post the type of content that's relevant for each, because creating content to connect with other lash artists is fun, but your clients just, they don't get it. They might laugh and be supportive about it with you, but it's not what they technically really want to see.
That's right. And there's always a time and a place for the venting. And we're always going to come across these clients that just makes us want to pull a hair out. And when those times happen, this is why you build a support group. And our UA Facebook group, for example, it's a great support group. I build it with the intention of creating a safe place. But that also means that I don't really want you guys to think that this is a place where you come in and you bash your clients and you talk shit about them, but rather a place for you to feel like frustrated and you can talk about it with somebody and, you know, communicate your frustration and have someone who understands you and talk you through it and extend that understanding to you so that you can go back and do what you got to do on your business page. You know, so it's really separating your business, different departments of your business, right? And maybe that's like the HR, like in our Facebook group can be like the HR department where you go and complain about all the terrible experiences that you've had and then ask for some suggestions and advice and help you overcome them. But Instagram and that type of negative content isn't the right place to do it. And it's just very counterintuitive.
So true. All right, Cheryl. So now that you got to vent a little bit and we had this conversation, how are you feeling about the biggest pet peeve in the industry? Do you think we're going to see some of that change? Like, how are you feeling?
Honestly, I feel so much better. I think that thank you for holding space for me and letting me kind of just voice this unpopular opinion of mine. And I think that I'm going to see some changes. Honestly, I believe that humans are inherently good. This has always been my belief. And I think sometimes it's just misguided. We have misdirected anger. We have unresolved resentment and frustration. And we're also not giving a lot of tools to, I guess, cope with them. And this is what our podcast is really meant to do, right? We talk about the good, we talk about the bad, we talk about the ugly, and we just no hold back. And having this conversation, I hope that you guys also felt understood. So I really hope that our listener today can take away just a different perspective and how I've been looking at this and why I think that the tone of your content matters and how that can impact your business. And going forward, just kind of keep that top of mind as you create content, but keep creating those content. Keep having so much fun and doing things that sparks joy for you and make others laugh and tag me in them. You know, don't forget to tag me in them, because if you're unsure about something, feel free to DM us before you post it, because sometimes it's not an intentional thing. It's just a not knowing thing. So as your study buddy, we're also here to help you look through your content to make sure that they are going to reflect well on you and your business.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.